Ever feel like you're drowning in data?
Oh, tell me about it.
Today, we're going to learn how to swim.
I like it.
We're diving into the world of instance-based learning.
IBL for short.
IBL for short. And its most popular algorithm.
The K nearest neighbors?
K nearest neighbors, or KNN.
And what's remarkable about this approach is that instead of building complex models, it focuses on the raw power of similarity.
Okay, so walk me through this.
Yeah.
What is IBL exactly, and how does it use this power of similarity?
So imagine a computer learning by remembering specific examples instead of relying on equations.
Okay.
It's like having a massive case file.
Right.
And using those past cases to make judgments about new ones.
Interesting.
That's IBL in essence.
So instead of stressing over complicated formulas,
yeah,
we're talking about data points, right?
Exactly.
Like, how do we actually put this learning by remembering into action?
That's where KNN comes in.
Okay.
Picture a universe where each star is a piece of data. With KNN, we figure out where a new star belongs by looking at its K nearest neighbors in this data universe.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Can you give me a concrete example?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's say we're trying to determine if a new fruit is a lime or a lemon.
Okay.
Based on its size and color.
Okay.
KNN would analyze, say, the three closest fruits in our data constellation.
So those are our K nearest neighbors.
Exactly. Those are our K nearest neighbors.
Right.
If two out of those three neighbors are limes,
okay,
KNN would predict that our new fruit is also a lime.
So it's a majority vote among the closest neighbors.
You got it.
But how do we measure closeness in this data universe?
Great question.
Yeah.
To figure out which data points are closest,
okay,
we use distance metrics.
All right.
A common one is Euclidean distance.
Euclidean distance, that sounds a bit intimidating.
It's simpler than it sounds.
Okay.
Imagine drawing lines between points on a piece of paper.
Right.
That's essentially what Euclidean distance calculates. It's all about finding the shortest path between those data points.
So we're using this distance ruler to see which data points are huddled together.
Exactly.
Okay, but how do we actually decide how many neighbors to consider? How do we choose the K in KNN?
The K value?
Yeah.
It's more significant than you might think.
Okay.
It determines how many neighbors influence our decision.
Right.
A small K might make the algorithm sensitive to noise or outliers in the data.
Okay.
While a large K could smooth out those variations, but potentially miss out on local patterns.
So it's about finding that sweet spot, that K value, that strikes the right balance for this specific data set.
Precisely.
Okay.
Remember that illustration where a single point ended up in different categories depending on whether we used one nearest neighbor or five?
Right.
That perfectly highlights how crucial choosing the right K can be.
Right. That was a powerful visual.
Yeah.
So let's say we figured out the best K for our data. Are we good to go, or are there other things to watch out for?
Good catch.
Yeah.
There are always additional factors to consider.
Okay.
One common challenge is that features can be measured on different scales.
Okay.
Comparing someone's weight in kilograms to their blood protein level,
right,
which is on a completely different scale,
yeah,
could skew the results, right?
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
It's like comparing apples and oranges.
Exactly.
They're both fruits, but you can't directly compare their sweetness,
right,
because they have different sugar contents.
Exactly. That's where standardization using Z-scores comes in. It's
right,
converting those measurements to a common language.
Okay.
So that no single feature unfairly dominates just,
yeah,
because it's measured on a larger scale.
So Z-scores help level the playing field.
Exactly.
Tell me more about how they actually achieve that.
Think of it this way. Z-scores tell us how far a particular data point is from the average for that feature.
Okay.
It's like giving every feature a standardized test and then comparing their scores.
Right.
This ensures a fair comparison, preventing any one feature from having undue influence on the distance calculations just because of its units of measurement.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So we've standardized our features using Z-scores. We've carefully chosen our K value.
Right.
Anything else that might trip us up?
Well, we've talked about Euclidean distance as our distance ruler.
Right.
But just like you wouldn't use a wrench to hammer in a nail,
right,
different data might call for different distance metrics.
You've piqued my curiosity.
Mm.
Tell me more about these different distance metrics. When might we use one over another?
Let's imagine we're working with data that's laid out like a grid.
Okay.
Maybe representing streets in a city.
Okay.
In this case, Euclidean distance, which measures straight line distance,
right,
might not be the most appropriate.
Okay.
Instead, we might use Manhattan distance.
Okay.
Which calculates distance as if you were navigating along those city blocks.
So the choice of distance metric depends on the nature of our data and the problem we're trying to solve.
Precisely.
Okay.
And this is where things can get even more interesting.
Okay.
What happens when we have a mix of data types, some numerical, some categorical?
Right.
How do we even begin to calculate distances then?
That does sound tricky.
It can be.
How does KNN handle that kind of complexity?
There are different approaches.
Okay.
But the key is finding ways to represent those different data types.
Okay.
In a way that allows us to calculate meaningful distances.
Okay.
But that's a deep dive for another time.
All right, I'll add that to the list.
Okay.
So we've got these different distance metrics.
Right.
We're paying attention to scale.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to keep in mind when using KNN?
One more crucial aspect is the curse of dimensionality.
Curse of dimensionality.
It's a real thing.
It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It kind of is.
What exactly does that mean?
Imagine searching for that same book in a library, but now the library has books stacked floor to ceiling, wall to wall.
Oh, no.
With endless rows and floors.
Too many books, not enough time.
That's what can happen with data when we have too many features or dimensions.
So more features, which you'd think would make our predictions better, can actually backfire.
In a sense, yes.
Okay.
As we add more dimensions, those data points become more spread out in this high-dimensional space.
Okay.
Making it harder to find truly meaningful neighbors.
Right.
What used to be a cozy neighborhood of data points becomes a vast and sparsely populated landscape.
That's counterintuitive.
It is.
Like, our intuition about more information being better doesn't always hold true in the world of data.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's a fascinating concept that often trips people up.
Yeah.
But don't worry, it's not an insurmountable obstacle.
Okay, good.
There are strategies for mitigating the curse of dimensionality.
Okay, good to know we're not doomed to wander this vast data landscape aimlessly.
No, not at all.
So what are some of these strategies? How do we fight back against this curse?
One powerful approach is feature selection.
Okay.
Instead of blindly using all available features,
right,
we carefully choose the most relevant ones for our task.
Okay.
Leaving out the noise and irrelevant information.
Okay.
Think of it as decluttering that massive library and keeping only the books that matter for our search.
So it's about being strategic and selective with our data, not just throwing everything at the algorithm and hoping for the best.
You got it.
I'm learning.
And there's another crucial aspect we need to consider, especially as our data sets grow larger.
Okay.
Efficiency.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about KD trees speeding up neighbor searches?
Yes. It was all about organizing our data for faster retrieval.
Right. Efficient indexing is crucial for handling massive data sets.
Okay.
It's not just about having the data.
Right.
It's about accessing and retrieving it quickly and effectively.
So it's like having a really good cataloging system in our library that lets us quickly pinpoint the exact book we need without having to browse through every shelf.
A perfect analogy.
Right.
And there are various techniques for efficient indexing,
okay,
each with its own pros and cons, depending on the specific data and task at hand.
This is all incredibly insightful.
Well,
we've covered so much ground, from the basics of how KNN works to the importance of scale distance metrics and even the curse of dimensionality.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see how much complexity lies beneath the surface of this seemingly simple algorithm.
And we're not done yet.
Oh, there's more.
There's still so much more to explore in the world of instance-based learning and KNN.
I'm ready for more. What other mysteries and marvels await us in this deep dive?
So we've talked about KNN sorting data into categories, like deciding if a fruit is a lime or a lemon.
Right.
But what if we wanted to predict something like, say, the price of a house?
Okay.
That's where KNN's ability to predict continuous values comes in handy.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Predicting actual numbers instead of just categories.
Exactly.
How does that work?
Yes.
Does KNN suddenly become a real estate expert?
Not exactly, but it uses a similar principle. Imagine we want to predict the price of a house.
Right.
Based on its features. Like things like square footage, number of bedrooms, location, and so on.
Right.
Instead of a majority vote among neighbors,
yeah.
We look at the K nearest houses in our data, with similar features,
okay,
and calculate the average of their prices.
So it's like saying, if these comparable houses are going for these prices, then our house should be in this price range too.
Exactly.
It's leveraging the wisdom of similar examples to make an informed estimate.
Precisely. And just like with classification, choosing the right K and distance metric is crucial for accurate predictions.
This is incredible. It seems like KNN has so much potential beyond just simple classification.
It really does. But as with any powerful tool, we need to be mindful of its limitations.
Right.
We've covered challenges like scale and choosing the right distance metric.
Right.
But there are other intricacies to consider.
Okay.
For instance, we need to be wary of something called the curse of dimensionality.
Curse of dimensionality?
Yeah.
It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It kind of is.
What exactly does that mean?
Imagine searching for that same book in a library.
Oh.
But now the library has books stacked floor to ceiling, wall to wall, with endless rows and floors.
Oh no, my worst nightmare.
Right.
Too many books, not enough time.
That's what can happen with data when we have too many features or dimensions.
So more features, which you'd think would make our predictions better, can actually backfire.
In a sense, yes.
Wow.
As we add more dimensions, those data points become more spread out in this high dimensional space.
Okay.
Making it harder to find truly meaningful neighbors.
Right.
What used to be a cozy neighborhood of data points becomes a vast and sparsely populated landscape.
That's counterintuitive.
It is.
It's like our intuition about more information being better doesn't always hold true in the world of data.
Exactly. It's a fascinating concept that often trips people up.
Yeah.
But don't worry, it's not an insurmountable obstacle.
Okay, good.
There are strategies for mitigating the curse of dimensionality.
Okay, good to know we're not doomed to wander this vast data landscape aimlessly.
No, not at all.
So what are some of these strategies? How do we fight back against this curse?
One powerful approach is feature selection.
Yeah.
Instead of blindly using all available features.
Right.
We carefully choose the most relevant ones for our task.
Okay.
Leaving out the noise and irrelevant information.
Okay.
Think of it as decluttering that massive library and keeping only the books that matter for our search.
So it's about being strategic and selective with our data, not just throwing everything at the algorithm and hoping for the best.
You got it.
Okay.
And there's another crucial aspect we need to consider, especially as our data sets grow larger.
Okay.
Efficiency.
Right.
Remember how we talked about KD trees speeding up neighbor searches?
Yes.
Right?
It was all about organizing our data for faster retrieval.
Right. Efficient indexing is crucial for handling massive data sets.
Okay.
It's not just about having the data.
Right.
It's about accessing and retrieving it quickly and effectively.
So it's like having a really good cataloging system in our library that lets us quickly pinpoint the exact book we need without having to browse through every shelf.
A perfect analogy.
Right.
And there are various techniques for efficient indexing,
okay,
each with its own pros and cons, depending on the specific data and task at hand.
This is all incredibly insightful. We've covered so much ground, from the basics of how KNN works, to the importance of scale distance metrics, and even the curse of dimensionality. It's amazing to see how much complexity lies beneath the surface of this seemingly simple algorithm.
And we're not done yet.
Oh, there's more.
There's still so much more to explore in the world of instance-based learning and KNN.
I'm ready for more. What other mysteries and marvels await us in this deep dive?
Yeah.
I have to say, learning about KNN has really shifted my perspective.
Yeah.
It's like this light bulb moment where you realize that even sophisticated algorithms,
right,
often stem from simple intuitive ideas.
It speaks to the elegance of mimicking nature's way of learning.
Yeah.
Think about it. We humans constantly rely on past experiences and similarities to make sense of the world.
Right.
We meet someone who loves our favorite band, and we instinctively wonder if they also enjoy our favorite author.
Right.
That's a form of instance-based reasoning.
Wow. You're right. We're all kind of like walking, talking KNN algorithms without even realizing it.
Kinda, yeah. It's a good way to put it.
But let's bring this back to our listeners.
Yeah.
We've gone deep into the technicalities of KNN.
Right.
But how does this all connect to their lives?
That's the exciting part.
Okay.
Understanding these concepts empowers you to see their applications everywhere.
Okay.
Ever wondered how those eerily accurate movie recommendations pop up on your streaming service?
Right.
Or how some apps seem to know exactly what you're craving for dinner?
Right. It's like, how do they know?
KNN is often working behind the scenes.
No, it all makes sense.
Right.
It's like having a personal shopper.
Yeah.
Or a culinary assistant.
Exactly.
But instead of human, it's this elegant algorithm sifting through data.
Right.
To find those hidden connections.
Exactly. And the beauty of KNN is that you don't need to be a data scientist.
Right.
To grasp its power.
Right.
This deep dive has equipped you with the knowledge to not only understand how KNN works, but also to start recognizing its potential in your own world.
So as you go about your day, keep an eye out for opportunities to apply this newfound knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine building a personalized music discovery app that suggests artists based on your current playlist and the listening habits of similar users.
Okay, so like a smarter playlist.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or how about a travel app that recommends destinations based on your past trips and preferences?
Right.
Drawing on the experiences of like-minded travelers.
The possibilities are endless.
They are.
It's like opening a door to a whole new world of problem-solving and innovation.
I like it.
And to think it all started with this simple idea of finding the nearest neighbors.
Sometimes the most profound solutions are hidden in the most intuitive concepts. It's all about asking the right questions, exploring those connections, and never losing that sense of wonder.
This has been a truly eye-opening journey into the world of instance-based learning.
It has been.
And the remarkable capabilities of KNNs.
The powerful algorithm.
We've explored its inner workings, its strengths and limitations, and most importantly, its potential to transform the way we interact with information and make decisions.
Absolutely.
Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of machine learning.
It was our pleasure.
We hope you've gained valuable insights that will stay with you long after this episode ends.
We do.
Until next time, keep those minds curious. And those questions coming.
This has been The Deep Dive, your shortcut to knowledge.